God's grace, His mercy, and His peace be with you tonight through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Tonight, I'd like to talk with you about the Lord's Supper, that great spiritual meal that we're going to celebrate tonight, which Jesus gave to us, to the Christians, to His church, to be celebrated until He comes again. And looking at the history of this, I'd like to start out with a word from a governor in the ancient world of the Roman Empire, a man named Gaius Plinius Caecilius Secundus, otherwise known as Pliny. Isn't it great to have nicknames, you know? Hey, Pliny. Well, he was a governor of Bithynia in about 100 AD. He wrote a letter to the Roman Emperor Trajan asking why Christians were being exterminated. And he said this in his letter. He said, "I've been trying to get all the information I could regarding the Christians. I've even hired spies to profess to be Christians and become baptized in order that they might get into the Christian services without suspicion. Contrary to what I had supposed, I find that the Christians meet at the dead of night or in early morning, that they sing a hymn to Christ as God, that they read from their own sacred writings, and partake of a very simple meal, consisting of bread and wine, the water added to the wine to dilute it in order that there might be enough for all. This is all I can find out, except that they exhort each other to be subject to the government and to pray for all men." Isn't that a great picture of our ancient brothers, our forefathers in the faith, nearly 2,000 years ago, and what they did when they came together? Just what we do. And they were celebrating the Lord's Supper. So I'd like to talk with you tonight about the Lord's Supper, and especially why. Why did God give us the purpose, the Lord's Supper? What were His purposes? And what are the great benefits that God gives us in this meal, which we're going to experience and celebrate together tonight? So what were the purposes of the Lord's Supper? Well, to start out, let's take a look and see what we read of the Lord's Supper in the Bible. And I'd like to read each of these accounts. There's not a whole lot of them. If we read baptism, there's a lot more references to baptism than to the Lord's Supper. Here's most of the Lord's Supper references in the New Testament. Matthew 26, 26 to 29. "Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup, and when he'd given thanks, gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of this vine until the day that I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" So that makes sense to you, right? You've heard that before. Let's look at what Mark says and see how different he was. Mark says, "And as they were eating, he took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he'd given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said to them, 'This is my cup of the new covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in the kingdom of God.'" Does that sound similar or different? Similar. How about Luke 22? Let's see how different this one is. "And he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And likewise, the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup, which is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood.'" And then one more. Here, let's take a look at 1 Corinthians 11. This is Paul this time. And he says, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" So there's almost all the references, almost, not quite all, but all the references to the Lord's Supper and all the references to how it was instituted. What do you notice already about the Lord's Supper? It's the same thing. It's basically identical, nearly exactly the same words. What does that teach us about what God wants us to understand about this Lord's Supper? I want these words preserved precisely. These are very important. Notice, they don't get altered at all in all these accounts. The same words. And they are full of precise and clear meaning for us to teach us about the Lord's Supper, what it is for us and what are the great benefits of it that we're going to partake of tonight. So what are the great benefits of this? Well, we'll go through them in a moment, but overarchingly, the benefit of this meal is to bless us. Say that, to bless us, to bless you. How do we know that? Was the Lord just giving us busy work, something that we had to do until he comes so that we stay busy? No, it's to bless you. How do we know? Well, Jesus says, it says of Jesus, he took bread and blessed it. Say blessed. Blessed. Broke it, gave it to the disciples and said, this is my body given for you. It's a blessing for you. And likewise, the cup after supper, after he'd given thanks, praying to God, he gave it. And he says, this is my cup given of the new covenant for you. So it's to bless you. God wants to bless you tonight. That's why Christians were doing it 2,000 years ago and still down to this very day. God wants to bless us. So we also notice here that this is an exclusive meal, by the way. This is for Christians only. He says to bless you, not to bless everybody until they come in and become Christians, that is, but it's to bless the Christians. This is a meal for his people. So why did Jesus give it to us? How does he want to bless us by this? What are his great purposes for you in this meal? Let's take a look at them. I'll give you three. Number one, the great benefit and purpose of the Lord's Supper, Jesus says, first is to point you to the past. Namely, to do this in remembrance of me. It's a memorial meal. Can you say the word memorial? Memorial. So we should be, when we take of this meal, we should be looking backwards to the past. Do this in remembrance of me. Looking back to what? To Jesus, to remember him, and what he did for us, to his cross, to his great passion, his suffering, his cross, his death, his burial, his resurrection, to remember these things. Do this in remembrance of me. So do you do that when you come up to the Lord's table here? Do you think backwards to his cross, to himself, to all he did to save you? Why do we need to do that, by the way? Don't we already know? Well, we tend to forget pretty much everything as human beings, don't we? We can forget this. You know, I know in my life, I've done so many cool things by God's grace. You know, that not only the sailing adventures, but I traveled through Europe and I've seen like 33 countries by the time I was 26. Do you know what I remember of those 33 countries? Like nothing. Okay, unless I go to my garage, get out some pictures, and I go, oh yeah, I remember doing that, and it makes it fresh again. We can forget even the best things of life. Can you forget even God? Well, we hear in the scriptures that God said to Moses, only take heed, and to the people, keep your soul diligently, lest you forget the things which your eyes have seen, lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. So what were the people of Israel tempted to forget that God had to make sure they were reminded of? Oh, I don't know, just like an ocean opening up and them walking through it on dry ground. Oh, I don't know, like the Passover where God slew all the firstborn and saved them through the blood of the Lamb. Oh, I don't know, miraculous, wonderful signs and mighty victories by his almighty outstretched hand. Could you even forget those things? Well, they did. We read in the generation after Moses and Joshua, the people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, forgetting the Lord their God and serving the Baals and the Asheroth. They forgot even these things. Are you kidding me? Yes, they forgot, and we can forget too, unless we have something to refresh our memories, to remember. And David says in Psalm 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. What benefits? That he forgives all your sins, that he heals all your diseases, that he redeems your life from the pit, that he crowns you with steadfast love and mercy so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now, when was the Lord's Supper given? On the very feast of Passover. Say Passover. Passover. What was the Passover meal? A memorial meal for what? To remember back the great salvation of God when he saved them out of Egypt, that it always be freshened in their minds. And so on that very Passover meal, he gave us this meal and instituted it to replace it, because the old one was for the old covenant, the new one is for the new covenant, to make his greater Passover salvation for us fresh in our minds, that we have been rescued not from Pharaoh, but from the devil, not from bondage to a country, but from bondage to sin, to come out to freedom, not just in your flesh, but to the freedom of Christ and heading to the promised land. So this meal, let's remember, it's to look backwards first. Okay, do this in remembrance of me. And we're remembering, just like a bride, by in her husband's absence, look at the ring and ponder and remember the covenant that she has with her husband in his absence. So we look back and remember the new covenant in our husband, our king's absence, until we see him again face to face. And what is that covenant? The forgiveness of your sins. The new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. This is my cup of the new covenant and the bread. So do this in remembrance of me. What a great God we serve, amen? That he refreshes us like this. And looking back and remembering, thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this. And we do remember you. Praise be to God, Jesus, for your salvation. Amen. Now, the second benefit. Let's look at the second benefit of the Lord's Supper. Is not only to point us back to the past, but to present strength as well. For what is this meal? It is a present communion with the Lord and with each other. Amen? Where do we read this? Let's open up and read the Bible here. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 15. This is Paul, and he says the following. He says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not a participation in the body of Christ? Because there's one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. So what is it? It's a communion or a participation. The word of the Greek is koinonia. You've heard that word? It's a communion, a sharing, a friendship, a partnership, a union in the body and the blood of the Lord. And so it's a fellowship for God's people. And that's why, by the way, we require, prior to coming to the altar here to receive these things, a common confession of faith. Because not everybody should be coming to this meal, right? We have a sheet back in the back. You could read that in greater detail. But just in short, you know, some people might want to partake here of the Lord's Supper, but they confess that the Bible is full of errors and a work of man. Should they be partaking? Not until they repent and confess the truth. How about if they're promoting sexual perversity, as a lot of churches are doing these days? Should they come? Not until they repent and confess the truth. How about when they preach another gospel? They need to repent first and confess the truth. Or if they refuse to forgive other people, should you come to be forgiven here if you are not first forgiving others? No, repent, forgive, and confess the truth. And we have a whole list of things to look at prior to taking of the Lord's Supper to go down that list and be sure that we are one. Because this is a meal of communion, that we are one together, one kingdom, one redeemed people, under one king, one Lord, and he at the head of the table. And it's called in the Bible a love feast. Have you heard that? A love feast, an exclusive meal for God's people of love, namely our love for each other. We and each other, and then our love for each other, and God's love for us, Christ's love to us, and all of us in and loving each other at this table in this meal. What a powerful meal this is. For what are we actually partaking of at the Lord's table? You know what you're going to get tonight? Is it just bread and wine? The bread and wine do remain, unlike it's taught in the Catholic Church. The bread and wine remain. I could show that in 1 Corinthians 11. But also, it is the very body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, really present for us, supernaturally in this meal, in with and under, the bread and the wine, given for us Christians to eat and to drink. Is that really so? You know what? I used to wonder that. in my earlier days. I mean, is it really his body and blood? Well, how do you arrive at the Lutheran belief about the Lord's Supper? You know how? Read the words of Scripture, repeat them back verbatim, don't change a word, take it literally, and say, amen. You've arrived at Lutheran theology. Jesus says, take and eat, this is my body. What do we say as Lutherans? This is your body, amen. Well, take it and eat it. This is my blood of the new covenant. What do we say? This is your blood of the new covenant, amen. You said it, I don't know how it can be, but it is, because whatever God says comes to pass. Do you believe this? You know, a lot of people in other churches don't believe that. They say that this is only a symbol of the Lord's body and blood. And you know why they say that? They say because it's illogical. Because when Jesus was giving the Lord's Supper to them at the first institution of it, his body was here, obviously, therefore, not in the bread, and his blood was here, then obviously not in the wine. So it's illogical, they say. How would you reason and answer that as a Christian, as a Lutheran? Well, I would say, number one, isn't he God? Can't he do whatever he wants? Can't he do and fulfill whatever he says? Is anything too hard for him? Is this not the God who created the world in 6 days, the entire creation? Is he not the God that makes the sun stand still in the sky in the days of Joshua? Or parts an ocean by his outstretched hand and raises the dead? Is anything too hard for him? If you think it's too hard for him to put his body and blood in there, you take that up with him, not me. Whatever he says, he can do. The second reason I believe, though, that the body and blood of the Lord are really present here in this wine and this bread for us Christians to eat and drink, that is the body in the bread and the blood in the wine, is because the Bible says so. What do we read in 1 Corinthians 10? Paul says this. Let's open up there again. 1 Corinthians 10 says the following. He says, Paul says, I want you to know, brothers, that our fathers were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, you know, the Red Sea, and all were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all ate the same supernatural food, and all drank the same supernatural drink, for they drank from the supernatural rock which followed them, and the rock was Christ. So, what kind of a meal was the water from the rock and the manna that came down from above? What is he called again? Supernatural. And what were those things in those days? Those were only foreshadowings and previews of this meal. So if the shadows and the previews can be called supernatural, pneumatikos in the Greek, if those were supernatural, what should we call the real deal over here but super supernatural food and drink? That's what you're partaking of tonight, okay? The real body and the real blood of Christ given for us Christians to eat and drink. If that's not enough for you, think of what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a communion in the blood of Christ? It's a communion in the blood of Christ. And the bread, is it not a communion in the body of Christ? It's a communion in the body of Christ. Again, the Lutheran just says, repeat the words and say, I believe. And you've arrived at the right doctrine. If that's not enough for you, consider 1 Corinthians 11. What do you profane if you partake of this meal in an irreverent and wrong manner? Well, Paul says, whoever therefore eats the bread and drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of profaning just a couple of symbols. No, the body and the blood of the Lord. When I was in my 20s or early 30s, I guess, is the body and blood really present here? And I came to that verse, I'm like, it has to be, because it's there to be profaned if you misuse it. And it's there to be drunk rightly and eaten rightly if you use it rightly. So it's really present there. And what happens if you misuse this, by the way? Well, it's a very powerful meal. Anyone who eats and drinks without discerning the body eats and drinks judgment upon himself, says Paul. That's why many of you are weak and ill and some have died. That's powerful. Weak, ill, and dying if you misuse it. Powerful meal. Remember the vessels of the Lord that were stolen by King Nebuchadnezzar and then brought out by his son out there in Babylon? And he said, oh, this is a wonderful night for a great party. Let's get those vessels of the Lord, remember, that we stole in my father's days? Let's bring them out and toast the gods of silver and gold and have a great party. Well, they started to do that when all of a sudden, as they were drinking and eating from those vessels, a hand appears, just a hand, and begins to write upon the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Parson. Ah, the king's color changed, and he was pale, and his knees began to knock together, says the scriptures. They had to call Daniel, and he interpreted the hand, the writing on the wall, which is, Mene, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. Tekel, you've been weighed in the balances and found wanting. Perez, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And that very night, Belshazzar, the Chaldean king, was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom. All right, that's for misusing vessels, okay, of the Lord that were holy. They were just cups and things. How much more judgment if you misuse the reality of the Lord's own body and blood to profane? So let's not misuse it. These are powerful things, the Lord's body and blood, but so powerful if you use them rightly. What's the opposite of weak, ill, and dying? Strong, healthy, and alive. God's given you wonderful blessings of life and present strength for you in this meal. And he knows that you need it. Remember, Jesus says in John 6, not immediately of the Lord's Supper, but applicable, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you don't have life in you. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. For my flesh, it's food indeed, my blood, drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I abide in him. Just as, a husband and a wife, he comes to confirm his covenant with us, that every time we partake of it, he's richly forgiving us our sins and confirming us in that new covenant once again that he made with us long ago. Luther says, the devil's a furious enemy. When he sees that we resist him and attack the old man, and when he cannot rout us by force, he sneaks and skulks about everywhere, trying all kinds of tricks, and doesn't stop until he's finally worn us out, so that we either renounce the faith or yield hand and foot and become indifferent or impatient. For such times when our hearts feel too sorely pressed, says Luther, this comfort of the Lord's Supper is given to bring us new strength and refreshment. As when he says in Matthew 11, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will refresh you. So that's the second one. The first is to look past. The second was to remember the present strength. And the third and last one, a little briefer, but just as powerful, it's a forward, future-looking meal. Namely, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11, for as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. What is that, a future-looking? That's looking forward. Because we're running a race as Christians. What do you need to do when you run a race? To run to the end well. You got to first look back to the past and remember, look how far I've already come. I can't stop now. I've covered all this ground. Look to the past. You can look to the present drink. You're going along, you get a couple drinks along on your marathon, so you can keep running. Present strength. But you also, as a runner, want to look to the future and say, but there's a prize out there. There's a finish line. There's a ribbon. There is an imperishable wreath waiting for me at the end of my race. And this, therefore, the Lord's Supper is not really best called the Last Supper, but the foretaste of the feast to come. And Jesus said as much in Matthew 26, I tell you, I shall not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. This meal is getting us to run the race that we attain to the greater meal in the world to come, the one that has no end. And can I read to you about that meal? Isaiah 25, on this mountain, proclaimed Isaiah, God through Isaiah, the Lord of hosts will make for all peoples a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. And what's the feast going to be? He will destroy on this mountain the covering that's cast over all peoples, the veil spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. And the reproach of his people he'll take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said on that day, this is our God, we've waited for him, that he might save us. This is the Lord, we've waited for him, let us rejoice and be glad in his salvation. This meal that you're going to partake of tonight is a foretaste of that amazing, endless feast of victory to come. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. So isn't this great? The great benefits of our Lord. And this is what he gives to you every time we receive the Lord's Supper. It is bread and wine, to be sure, but also to the eyes of faith and in truth and in reality, the body and the blood of the Lord. Past, present, future, the blessing of God until that day when we together will sit at that feast with him in the joyous world and the kingdom without end. In Jesus' name. Amen.